cena che va veramente sono.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Well, thank everybody for coming on this very, very cold afternoon. Can you hear me okay? Is the mic loud enough? Okay. Okay. So today I'm going to speak about remembrance of Krishna. Many of us have given many classes probably throughout the years about hearing and chanting, but I also want to speak about remembering today. It usually gets turned down in the kirtan, but it's not loud enough. Okay, so I'm going to read from the Srimad Bhagavatam, actually, 1-15, famous verse. Yadanuja sina yukta arvagranti nibandhanam chindanti kovidas tasya bonakurya katharatyam. With sword in hand, intelligent men cut through the binding knots of reactionary work, karma, by remembering the personality of Godhead. Therefore, who will not pay attention to his message? Report by Srila Prabhupada. The contact of the spiritual spark with material elements creates a knot which must be cut if one wants to be liberated from the actions and reactions of fruitive work. Liberation means freedom from the cycle of reactionary work. This liberation automatically follows for one who constantly remembers the transcendental pastimes of the personality of Godhead. This is because all the activities of the Supreme Lord, his Leela, are transcendental to the modes of material energy. They are all attractive spiritual activities, and therefore constant association with the spiritual activities of the Supreme Lord gradually spiritualizes the conditioned soul and ultimately severs the knot of material bondage. I'm going to skip down a little in the purport. Therefore, any sensible man who is above the average man with a poor fund of knowledge must constantly remember the personality of Godhead by hearing about him, by glorifying him, by remembering him, and by worshiping him always without cessation. That is the perfect way of devotional service. The Goswamis of Vrindavan, who were authorized by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to preach the bhakti cult, rigidly followed this rule and made immense literatures of transcendental science for our benefit. They have chalked out ways for all classes of men in terms of different orders of life in pursuance of the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam and similar other authoritative scriptures. Om Gyanatrandasya Gananjana Sukhaya Shaksurun Kamina Tasma Sri Vrvena Maha Vanchakalpa Trivascha Kripasimadevacha Patitano Pavanagya Vaishnavigana Maha. So Rupa Goswami and Bhakti Samrita Sindhu, 1-8, before describing all the different rules and practices of Vaidhi Bhakti, quotes a very famous verse from Padma Purana that is also quoted in Majjalila of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Smartavyam satatam vishnur, vishmartavya najatichit, sarvevidhi nishedam chur, etayor itapinkara. Krishna is the origin of Lord Vishnu. He should always be remembered and never forgotten at any times. All the rules and prohibitions mentioned in Shastra should be the servants of these two principles. So Rupa Goswami wanted to make it clear that although he outlines now 64 different principles of devotional service, that this is the basis. This is the philosophical and theoretical reason of why we're doing all these different practices of sadhana bhakti, to get to the point where we are always remembering Krishna and never forgetting him. Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, Chaitanya Charitamrita, this verse is a quotation from the Padma Purana. There are many regular principles in the Shastra and directions given by the spiritual master. These regular principles should act as servants of the basic principle, that is, one should always remember Krishna and never forget him. This is possible when one chants the Hare Krishna mantra. So it's a very nice tie-in that Lord Chaitanya, of course, quotes this verse, and Srila Prabhupada is making the point that the beginning process is chanting Hare Krishna, beginning and the end process. It is the way that will lead us to remembrance. And so it might be first asked, can we always remember Krishna? Is that possible for neophyte devotees at every stage of the process of Vaidhi Bhakti? Because it seems rather daunting when we say always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. Of course, I mentioned this before, that Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that the word Satnam means every day, not every second. It'd be impossible for the neophyte devotee to remember Krishna every second, otherwise he would be on the pure Uttama platform of Krishna consciousness. So he says we must have daily sadhana, hearing, chanting, service. And this is all part of remembering Krishna. And of course, this is the way Srila Prabhupada set up our society, for the devotees to be engaged in all kinds of activities, the nine processes of devotional service, so that we could not help but to remember Krishna. However, despite these more realistic expectations of our acharyas for neophytes, we need to always remember that the final goal is to always remember Krishna. This isn't hyperbole, this isn't some, exaggeration. This is actually a fact, that as one advances in Krishna consciousness, one is able to remember in one's heart Krishna more and more, to the point of constant remembrance of Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada explains this. He says in the purport to 4.22.24 Bhagavatam, Smritra means remembering Krishna always. Life should be molded in such a way that one cannot remain alone without thinking of Krishna. We should live in Krishna so that while eating, sleeping, walking, and working, remain only in Krishna. Our Krishna Consciousness Society recommends that we arrange our living so that we can remember Krishna. In our ISKCON Society, the devotees, while engaged in the making of spiritual sky incense, are also hearing about the glories of Krishna or his devotees. Vishnu should never be forgotten. That is the spiritual way of life, smriti. This is remembrance of the Lord and can be continued if we hear about him constantly. To hear about Krishna from Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita or similar authentic literature is to live in Krishna consciousness. Very nice purport. I mean, the Prabhupada seems to really get to the heart of bhakti and it's so nicely like that. So, of course, the spiritual process and progression of practice in sadhana bhakti is a gradual thing in many ways, and it is a progression. And it does lead to the point of remembrance. Of course, and now it's interesting that we just read 1.2.15, and Prabhupada mentions part of the verse previously, 1.2.14, in purport. 14 is, therefore, with one-pointed attention, one should constantly hear about, glorify, remember, and worship the personality of God, who's the protector of the devotees. So these processes are specifically mentioned for the devotees. Hearing, chanting, glorifying, remembering, and worship of the personality of Godhead. In other words, I thought it was interesting because if you think, hearing about, even talking about, or chanting, speaking about, and remembering could seem like they could possibly be somewhat dry intellectual processes. But when we add worshiping, that introduces bhakti. In other words, I mean, yes, but it's in a mood of devotion, a mood of worship towards Krishna. Not that we're simply, it's not a mental, intellectual process alone. So the nine processes of devotional service, of course, are famously cited by Prahlad Maharaj in the seventh canto, and it begins with Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. So this is the natural order and progression of the path of devotional service and the processes that we employ to become Krishna conscious. So when one hears and chants the names, qualities, philosophies, service, or pastimes of the Lord, one naturally will remember. Remembrance comes from the hearing and chanting. Srila Prabhupada says in Srimad Bhagavatam, purport 7.5.23, if one has love for God, he must hear about God. That is purpose, shravana. And if he has heard about God, then he must chant also. He should, I mean to say, preach to others. Oh, God is like this, God is like that. God is so beautiful. He does like this, he does like that. That is kirtana. Shravanam kirtana smaranam. Smaranam means always remembering. Without shravanam kirtana, just like this chanting, when I say Hare Krishna, immediately I remember Krishna. Krishna's forms, Krishna's pastimes, everything of Krishna automatically, his quality, his beauty, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevam. So we've always all experienced that, right? Every time we say Hare Krishna, we totally immersed in total remembrance of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada was. Anyway, so this is the vision. This is the position of the pure devotee, and this is what Srila Prabhupada was instructing us over and over throughout all of his books, to try to come to this platform in this one human form of life, to try to get to the point of, you know, completely renouncing, abandoning this material world and all of our material conceptions of life, and simply surrender to Krishna, and through a process, not just theoretically or, you know, just surrender, and but no, through hearing, chanting, remembering, and the other processes of devotional service. So I was thinking, when I was preparing class today, what does remembrance actually look like? Hearing and chanting seems fairly clear, doesn't it? We know what hearing is. You either hear kirtan, or you hear someone reading, or you read yourself. You know, you hear yourself reading so one of the scriptures, one of Srila Prabhupada's books or whatever. And, you know, kirtan obviously is either chanting, japa or kirtan, or also speaking. Prabhupada mentions, or preaching about Krishna consciousness, just talking to others about Krishna. This is all kirtana. So, but what is remembering? What is shravanam? How does that look, since we're not mostly at this stage of every time that I think of Krishna, I'm remembering his form, his pastimes, his beauty. There are many ways that we can remember Krishna. I think these take different forms. One is remembering Krishna's words, from the scriptures, from his teachings, from Bhagavad Gita, from Srila Prabhupada's books. In other words, many things come up in life, and as we develop spiritual vision, we connect everything to Krishna. Isn't it? That's the goal. In other words, and isn't this is something that was remarkable that we all saw Srila Prabhupada do. I mean, you can think of so many stories. I remember the one was, he was taking a walk in Paris, and he was in the park, and there was all these bird droppings on the ground. You know, now that's a, you could just see all sorts of spiritual connection immediately, right? Most of us wouldn't. But Srila Prabhupada says, what does this mean? Devotees couldn't figure out what he was getting at all. He says, this means that these same birds are here every night roosting. And then you get into a whole thing about how even the animals are attached, and whatever we have in this material world we become attached to. In other words, everything Prabhupada would see became a preaching point, became a point of instruction. And that instruction was always about showing us how to see Krishna, how to remember Krishna in all of, in everything. So this is one thing that's very important as far as remembering, making almost intellectual connections. Oh yeah, Prabhupada said this in the Bhagavad Gita, and this is what, you know, this is an example of that, like that. We also remember Krishna's service. It can be our daily devotional service. Srila Prabhupada gave the example of the workers in the spiritual sky. I think at a certain point they started to forget a little bit, but and it didn't go on too well after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance. But at any rate, that was the idea. Whatever you're doing work for Krishna, you're doing some devotional service, you can be thinking, hearing, chanting while you're doing it, but the service itself is also remembrance of Krishna, right? In other words, if I'm just thinking of, you know, what do I need to do in my service? How can I do it better? Or what comes next? That's remembering Krishna. Prabhupada wants to make it very clear. You know, he says we're not a society of idle meditators. You know, we actively serve Krishna. That's bhakti, devotional service. And so, and then of course Prabhupada mentioned that we remember Krishna through chanting. He said, just like this chanting, when I say Hare Krishna, immediately I remember Krishna. So if one does get intensely into one's chanting, or one's japa or kirtan, you know, the experience of Krishna's holy name, you know, is there. Not all the time, not purely perhaps, but we do experience that. We experience that, and then that helps us to remember Krishna. Often I find that if I'm, on those rare occasions when I'm chanting well, then I almost automatically think of Krishna and think of the philosophy, or think of, you know, somewhere or something I read about Krishna or his pastimes or like that. So because Krishna is not different than his name, if we're remembering the holy name, we're remembering Krishna. Then I was thinking about this idea, the fourth principle that was spoken about in 1.2.14, which was worshiping.
thinking about the deities, thinking about our worship. Very, very important is thinking about how was Radha Shyamasundara dressed so nicely. Is that any different than thinking about Radha Krishna? Absolutely not. That is thinking of Krishna. You know, and you know, those who do serve the deity a lot have greater and greater realizations, I think, than many of us, of the identity of Krishna, the deity. You know, that Krishna is there. And he's accepting our service. And the more, and if we remember that service, we're remembering Krishna. And even if we don't, just having the opportunity to see the beautiful deities on the altar helps. And that's something we can remember through the day. We also remember Krishna's devotees and the activities and pastimes of Krishna's pure devotees. This is non-different than thinking of Krishna, because the guru particularly is the representative of Krishna. So it's no different. If I'm serving the guru, it's like serving Krishna. Krishna accepts service through the guru. Krishna's instructions come through the guru. So I was just thinking that we've been so blessed and fortunate because of, technology, and that we have so much information about Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas. We have so many books, memory tapes, audio tapes. There's so much there. And so if we're, you know, absorbed and thinking of Srila Prabhupada's activities or pastimes, or whatever, then that's not no different. That's smarana, that's remembrance. I was thinking we have these appearance days coming up. Sri Advaitacharya is tomorrow, Nityananda's, and even the appearances of all the the Goswamis, the Acharyas in our line. Those days that help us, we think about those devotees, those great devotees who've surrendered their lives and souls totally to Krishna. That's a wonderful example for smarana. And another one that I think is very important is that we remember Krishna's personal presence in our life. This is where it becomes a little less, you know, intellectual or mental, and more, I guess, more of the heart. You know, how does Krishna appear to me? How does he, you know, how do I associate with Krishna? How do I remember Krishna? And a lot of it is understanding that Krishna is with us at every moment. He's there as the super soul in the heart. He's helping us in everything. And in 1857, Krishna says, really nice verse I like, says, "In all activities, just depend on me and work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me." So in other words, depend on Krishna for everything. Everything we do, you know, and that could be in a mood of prayer often. Of course, that's another one of the processes, but I think that mood of prayer leads directly to remembrance also. Because if we're praying to Krishna, we're thinking, "Oh, please, Krishna, help me." And even if it's a prayer of a little bit of, distress or desperation, or, you know, I mean, think of Gajendra. You know, well, he suddenly remembers Krishna when he's about to get eaten by a crocodile, you know, but that's okay. You know, Vishnu appeared before him because he recited such nice prayers and like that. So whatever it takes, you know, Queen Kunti said, "Krishna, please, you visited so many calamities upon us. We've had so much distress. Please bring them again, because every time one of these calamities came, it forced me to think of you. It forced remembrance." Now, that's a pretty advanced stage. Most of us don't pray for more calamities, you know, so that we can, you know, but that's the standard. That's the high standard of remembrance. And it's really is depending on Krishna. And seeing how Krishna is our protector, how Krishna is our friend, Krishna is always there with us, constantly, lifetime after lifetime, you know, staying with us through so many different lives. And then I think I wanted to end with probably the last one that is very obvious. Remembrance of Krishna's pastimes. So advanced devotees are constantly remembering Krishna's pastimes. And those of us who are sadhakas, we practice remembering them to make advancement, right? So in other words, it's always the means and the end are the same in Krishna consciousness. You know, you do the thing to get to the point where you want to be, ultimately, where you'll be doing the same thing. So we'll be hearing and chanting, remembering when we're pure devotees in Goloka Vrindavan. That day will come, you know, and we'll be doing the same things, but in a higher consciousness, perhaps, right? So in Vaidhi Bhakti Sadhana, we practice these things, and sometimes it's more of a struggle, not so much to always remember Krishna, but the struggle is to attempt not to forget Krishna, right? It's that always remember Krishna, don't forget him. We think, well, aren't those the same thing? Not exactly, are they? Sometimes that trying not to forget becomes more of a challenge for us in the beginning stages of Krishna consciousness. Now, when one advances a little bit more in sadhana bhakti to the point of raganuga bhakti, sadhana, still part of sadhana, the sadhana becomes more easy, more naturally, more spontaneously. That's what we call it, spontaneous devotional service, through development of taste, through hearing, chanting, and remembering. In other words, more advanced devotees may be appearing to be doing the same activities, but there's taste there for them. They're eager to do them. You know, Prabhupada gives example in the nectar of the nectar devotion. He says that in the beginning, the neophyte student has to be waking up early in the morning, you know, by the alarm clock or the bell on the order of the guru, because he doesn't really want to get up, but that's the guru's order. He says, and then later, one spontaneously wants to get up and hear and chant and do the activities of Krishna consciousness. You know, so that's a natural progression of sadhana, right? And the other thing about that's interesting about remembering is that Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that in the stage of Raga Bhakti, the primary activity is remembering Krishna's pastimes. So in other words, it becomes, Krishna consciousness becomes more internalized. Doesn't mean that the devotee doesn't do any service or do anything practical, but that constant remembrance becomes more and more prominent in one's life. And he particularly recommends that if one wants to make that kind of advancement to those stages, that one should particularly try to hear the 10th canto pastimes of Krishna. Of course, we know that's kind of like the mood of the Goswamis too. Most of their books and writings are about Vrindavan, and Rupa Goswami, besides Nectar Devotion, Nectar Instruction, of course, wrote many, many books, plays, all sorts of things. It's all about, you know, Krishna Radha and Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. And similarly, Jiva Goswami wrote Gopal Champu and so many things about. Of course, Sanatana Goswami wrote, 10th Canto commentaries and Jiva Goswami. So in other words, this absorption in Krishna's pastimes is sort of there, inherent in our acharyas. And Srila Prabhupada himself, when was Krishna book published? 1970? 71? Very early on, when we only had maybe first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada wrote Krishna book, the 10th canto of pastimes, so that we could have those and relish those. He knew how important that was for the devotees. You know, and I said this before, I think, I'm repeating myself, you know, it's getting to the point where I repeat myself in classes, but anyway, that I remember how we used to enjoy and relish, you know, reading Krishna book at lunch prasadam or in the evening or something like that. And, you know, what did we know? We were all totally neophytes. What did we know about Putana or gopis or anything? You know, but we relished it because there's a natural taste. Krishna is all attractive. And we naturally became attracted to those pastimes. So by hearing and chanting about Krishna, our appreciation and our relish of remembering him develops. When you think about it, you can't remember something unless you hear about it or associate, right? So, you know, it's like one of your relatives says, do you remember that neighbor, the Murphys next door? And you haven't thought about the Murphys for 50 years, and you have absolutely no idea what he's talking about. You go, no. But if you've been reading regular news about them, and you've been getting the scintillating Christmas newsletters every year, you know, from your relatives about, you know, what's happening with the Murphys' grandchildren and all that kind of exciting stuff. I'm being sarcastic, yes. I'm sorry. But at least you would remember them. You remember, oh yeah, the Murphys. So, if you never hear about Krishna, how are you going to remember him? It's just a very simple point. You know, you have to hear and chant to be able to remember. It's a natural process. So, the very, very fortunate thing is that Krishna's pastimes are so attractive that we naturally want to hear, we want to chant about Krishna. I mean, chant the holy name, what can be more attractive? We want to remember Krishna. And so, and of course, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, as I said, the Goswamis and all of our acharyas, they particularly relish Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes, his Vraja Leela. And this is called Leela Smaranam, remembering Krishna's pastimes. And I will end with some. This is what Srila Prabhupada comments about this Lila Smaranam in the Krishna book. Prabhupada says, they, the residents of Vrindavan, were thinking, Krishna was playing in this way. Krishna was blowing his flute. Krishna was joking with us. And Krishna was embracing us. This is called Lila Smaranam, and is the process of association with Krishna most recommended by great devotees. Even Lord Chaitanya enjoyed Lila Smaranam in association of, and the Lila Smaranam association of Krishna when he was in Puri. Those who are in the most exalted position, devotional service and ecstasy, can live with Krishna always by remembering his pastimes. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has given us a transcendental literature entitled Krishna Bhavanamrita, which is full with Krishna's pastimes. Anyway, I've never read that. Anyone read that? I don't know. Anyway. Devotees can remain absorbed in Krishna's thought by reading such books, any book of Krishna Lila, even this book, Krishna. And our teachings of Lord Chaitanya is actually a solace for devotees who are feeling separation from Krishna. So, of course, the result of remembering Krishna, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, one who meditates on me, the mind constantly engaged in remembering me, is sure to reach me. So, Krishna is saying, remember me and you will come back to me. You know. And this will lead to also the personal association with Krishna. I'm sorry, I do have one more. One more quote from Srila Prabhupada's report from 2.4.15. The devotees need not be disappointed in the physical absence of the Lord, though they may think of not being associated with him. You ever think that? You know, I'm like bereft of this Krishna's association. You know, I'm still unadvanced and fallen. I don't see Krishna. And the devotional process of chanting, hearing, remembering, etc., either all of them or some of them or even one of them, can give us the desired result of associating with the Lord by discharging the transcendental loving service of the Lord in the above manner. Even the very sound of the holy name of Lord Krishna or Rama can at once surcharge the atmosphere spiritually. We must know definitely that the Lord is present wherever such pure transcendental service is performed, and thus the performer of offenseless kirtanam has positive association with the Lord. Similarly, remembrance and prayers can give us the desired result if they're properly done under expert guidance. Okay. So, I think we're out of time. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Okay, any quick comments, thoughts, questions, criticisms? Yes, Guru.
I have a question that, you said that we should.
We should remember Krishna all the time. So, how about if we are in school and we are learning something, we are attending our classes, and how should I remember him that time? Whereas if I remember him that time, then I won't understand anything in my class, and I'll fail all my tests.
I understand. That's a good point. I understand exactly what you're saying. What you do then is you remember the goal. Why am I doing this? Is it only so that you can make money and have a wonderful... No. What is the reason? Why are you doing your studies?
So that I earn money and put that money in Krishna's service.
There you go. See? Yeah. Right answer. But seriously. Yeah, and in other words, you want to be a devotee. And, you've got dharma, you've got duties in this world that we have to take care of. That's part of it. But the devotee sees that as devotional service. The whole thing is to have the consciousness that, oh, this isn't just some mundane thing I have to do over here, and maybe I can come to the Sunday feast, and that's the only time I'm Krishna conscious. No, you want to remember, you want to be always thinking about what you're doing is part of your whole ongoing Krishna consciousness. So I guess what I'm saying is it's sort of a long-term remembrance. In other words, I'm remembering the goal. In other words, and I need to do this thing, and I've got to, study this chapter so I can pass this test so I can get to my goal. So,
will still Krishna accept me and say that, yeah, you were studying in your class and you were doing this for your long-term goal, and I'll keep you with
that? Yeah, and they might even help you.
Yeah.
I would. In other words, for a while, I was thinking for a long time, if I have to do something like that, say I'm doing some work out in the yard or something, should I pray to Krishna to help me do something just to fix something? Or it seems kind of mundane, But then I was thinking about this verse that I quoted where Krishna says, in all things depend on me. Well, what does that mean? That means everything, right? It means everything we're doing depend on Krishna. Realize, you can't pass that test without Krishna's sanction. Really, right? Krishna says, I am the source of what? Knowledge, remembrance, forgetfulness? You're not going to be able to remember the answers without Krishna's super soul given to you. So that's another way you can think about it. In other words, that, you know, Krishna's there helping you through it. And he'll help you because you're a good devotee and he wants you to succeed.
Yeah.
I hope, at least. I think so.
Thank you.
Okay, anything else? Nice question. Yeah.
Thank you, Prabhu. So my question is towards remembering Krishna too much. Sometimes I think, am I going insane thinking Krishna all the time? You know, people might say, you are just talking about Krishna all the time, you don't have anything else to talk or something. So I feel like, you know, sometime, you know, just past crossing that line of sanity.
You'd be in good company. You know, they said Lord Chaitanya was like a madman, you know, and somebody devoted. Actually, it's described that way in advanced stages of Krishna consciousness. They say this is one chance, stance, rolls on the ground, tears come in their eyes. People think that, you know, something wrong with you. No, so there's certainly nothing wrong with that. There is a point, of course, when, you know, there's a balance in life. And what you need to do is balance the different processes of devotional service. So hearing, chanting, remember, that's certainly, those are very important processes. So is padasevanam and dasha. In other words, doing other services may also be important. You know, like I remember when this one woman was on my Sankirtan team, this goes way back, you know, and, you know, it's like I say, are you ready to go out? And she says, no, I've got to chant my rounds. And this was like all the time. So she never, you know, I go, yeah, chanting your rounds is the most important, but then if you're never doing any other service, you know, it's kind of like, come on now, you know. So in other words, you need a balance. Just make sure that you're doing everything. And just, you know, pray to Krishna. Pray to Krishna that, you know, give. And if you're really in doubt, speak to senior devotees that you know, respect. If we, you know, it always helps to check in with devotees, get that association. And, you know, we can kind of, you know, I'm sure most of them reassure you that you probably are not mentally ill, that you're quite all right, and go ahead and think about Krishna.
Thank you. Another related question that I have is, sometimes the doubt arises in me, and that is totally, you know, my thought is that, does really Krishna exist? You know, does all these books, literature, you know, everything is really written by a human being, was not really given by God to somebody? Those type of logical things, rational thinking starts coming and, you know, start doubting everything, that you are really going on the right path, or is this right thing you are doing, or is this, you know, so
yeah,
how are we clearing those doubts?
Well, first of all, I guess I want to probably say that I wouldn't be surprised if most devotees have sometimes had thoughts like that, some doubts. I mean, doubt is there, you know, and, you know, having very, very strong faith is difficult, you know, and there's always, you know, didn't Krishna talk about the demon of doubt? And Krishna's called, who was the destroyer of doubts? Madhusudana? No. Yeah, Madhusudana meant the destroyer of doubts. And he's talking to Arjuna, even Arjuna had doubts, you know. So not so much that, you know, is at all not real, but so I think it's natural. And the thing is, I think what you'll find is that over time, hearing, chanting, hearing the philosophy, over time those become less and less, and your conviction becomes stronger. That's something I've found, like I think of almost 50 years, you know, doing this process. And you know, somebody asked, you know, well, you know, like, what advancement have you made? And often I would say, I don't think I've really made much advancement, to be honest, but except for one thing, that I know that my faith has become stronger. My conviction and faith becomes increasingly strong over the years. And so that those kind of doubts just, they tend to sort of go away and resolve themselves. Yeah, and of course, hearing the philosophy, you know, is important too, because the way Prabhupada presented the philosophy is very much to get rid of those intellectual doubts or mental doubts. It's really mental, the mental doubts that we have. And that's why Prabhupada would often explain things, give analogies, give arguments, counter-arguments, you know, a lot of that. And he would often entrain his disciples, would pose questions, like he would take an opposite stand or whatever. In other words, you know, to get... So sometimes we need to really talk out these things. Well, what is the Tao? Does that make sense? Is it... What's the counter-argument? You know, know what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah, it gets better.
So you're saying just association with the devotees?
What, I'm sorry?
Association with the devotees may help?
Doing what?
Association with the devotees.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, like, for me, I feel a lot more confident speaking, you know, about Krishna consciousness when I've got a room full of 40 people that at least are pretty much on the same page, I think, right? I mean, you know, mostly everyone's devotees and, you know, everyone's, people seem to be nodding and they understand the points, and this isn't all, and I'm not speaking Greek, you know, I'm a little Sanskrit, but no, but, you know, it's like, yeah, association of devotees strengthens our faith very much. That faith is, it's described by our acharyas, that faith is nourished by the association of devotees. Yes, absolutely.
Thank you, Guru.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? We're... I think the only reason people are staying is because it's probably colder outside.
I'm wondering, Prabhu, about the other books written by acharyas on Krishna Lila.
Mm-hmm.
How does one know, or you know, when is it appropriate to be hearing about these?
It's a great question. It's probably, you could hear a lot of different answers, and people have different opinions on it. I used to be, you know, kind of skeptical. But on the other hand, just like I read that purport, and I didn't read it because of that. I just saw it. It just happened to me at the end of it. I didn't even notice before where Prabhupada was recommending reading Krishna Bhavanamrita by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. You know, I think I don't even know if the book's available in English. I think Bhanuswami has probably translated it. And I have a sort of a snobbish rule of thumb about reading books. I mean, snobbish because I feel very, very dedicated to Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON movement. And so if Srila Prabhupada's disciples have translated written books, I feel more comfortable reading them. You know, because you know, because, I mean, have you ever, I've seen Mahabharats where you're not even sure if Krishna's God, you know, some translations of it, right? I don't know if you're maybe even fortunate enough. But it's, so you have to be a little careful. But the Goswamis, we're called Rupanugas, followers of Rupa Goswami, they're acharyas. They're, and Prabhupada did translate several of the books, obviously, Nectar of Instruction, Nectar of Devotion. I think as far as getting more deeply, I think a lot of it has to do with one's readiness, too. And I think you become attracted and sort of led to certain things when it's the right time. You know, like, right now I'm in the middle of, almost at the end of reading Gopal Champu by Jiva Goswami. And it's a wonderful book. It's translated by Bhanuswami, or ISKCON Sannyasi, and GBC, member, and, you know, very bona fide. And it's just very sweet, and I really like it. But, you know, I when it first came out, I don't know, several years ago, I kind of picked it up, and somehow it didn't interest me. And now it does. It's just because, whatever. You know, the point right now, it seems more appropriate for me. But it's a very individual decision. And again, you know, consult with others. And, you know, if you have a living spiritual master might have an opinion on these things, I certainly would take that. And I don't know, does anybody have a better idea on that? I hate to be too opinionated, you know, with... Because it could be contrary. I mean, some people really go overboard. They go down in Vrindavan, the Loy Bazaar, and they grab every book off the bookshelf, you know, that, you know, who wrote it, who translated it, you know, you'd say anything. So you have to have some care. And that's why I say, I figure if they're translated by our devotees, Srila Prabhupada's disciples, they have a little better chance that it's going to be at least in the right mood, in the same mood as Srila Prabhupada. Yeah. Yeah, Ruchira.
It seems like you should have a good grasp of Prabhupada's books first, and the philosophy.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it'd be very easy to
get a sahaja idea. Oh, now I'm a gopi. I totally understand all this. And not really. Then you can actually wreak destruction on your creeper by, you know.
Well, that's a great point. And I think you've got to approach this with a lot of humility and really understanding I'm very neophyte and blah, blah, you know, that sort of thing. Otherwise, yeah, one can start. You know, I've seen this. I can think of about three devotees, senior devotees, Prabhupada disciples, just right off the top of my head, who got so absorbed in all of this. And sometimes they all kind of fell away. And I was really trying to think about it because I knew some of them well. I knew the circumstances, and they tended to become, all of them, in all cases, they became kind of arrogant. You know, like, I'm in a more advanced position than other devotees. And that is like, that's death to your creeper, isn't it? I mean, that's a good way to fall down. You know. In other words, when you see really advanced devotees, you see humility. You know, and an advanced devotee does not advertise themselves. You know, like, you know, Srila Prabhupada talked a lot about what his eternal sarup was, his constitutional position, what he was doing in Vrindavan. No. I had a long talk with Sridhar Kirti about this, who was with him for 3 years as a servant. He said once, in a very intimate moment, Srila Prabhupada gave a hint a little bit about that subject to him. One time in 3 years. He didn't talk about that with his neophyte disciples. No, I mean, that's an inner private thing. Now, maybe he did with advanced godbrothers. I don't know. We don't know that. You know, but he didn't with us, you know. So in other words, yeah.
Also, I was thinking he also said, everything you need to know is in my books.
Yes.
You know, so it's not like, oh, now I'm going to get more advanced if I read more advanced things. But it's actually revealed to you as you advance anyway.
Well, that's a wonderful point. You know, there was this... you know those conversations in Siddhanta's tapes? There's an old one with Revati Nanda, who was a Swami, and I don't know, then he left the sannyasa order. I have no idea about him. But he was giving this very animated, really nice talk about some of his experiences with Srila Prabhupada. And one time he said, I said to Srila Prabhupada, because, you know, so devotees are, you know, very concerned about learning about sometimes about, you know, their sarup or this or that, or, you know, and their, you know, siddhadeya. And he says, and I said to Prabhupada, I said, isn't it that if I'm really advanced enough to know that or for that Krishna will reveal that to me? I don't have to go to somebody. And Prabhupada said, yes, you have understood. Yeah. You know, it's, don't, yeah, we're not going to miss out on anything. You know, we don't have to go anywhere else to, you know, get some secret information. You know, it's kind of like, it's basically, if you know, if you understand Krishna's God and devotional service, you kind of got it, you know. And remember the story of the, illiterate Brahmin who, they made fun of him because he was, I think he was holding the book upside down. I don't know what it was, but he couldn't read the book. He says, well, why do you keep reading the book? He says, I'm just looking at the picture of Krishna and Arjuna, you know, and when I think of the devotion, he says, I just go into tears, and, you know, Lord Chaitanya says, you have actually understood Bhagavad Gita, even though you couldn't read. So that's the idea, yeah. We can give a lot of examples like that, yeah. Okay, and I could probably go on for quite a while if I didn't have a good sense to stop. Oh, one more? Okay.
Yeah. I really like what the Chiramata just said about it will be revealed, but I was also thinking that, you know, it's reading other kinds of pastimes, lila, books and stuff. It's not until Anartha Nivritti is over, you know, it's beyond the stage of Nishta, at least.
Yeah.
You know, that's also like a nice guideline. And also like Shivaram Swami in his book, Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani,
mm-hmm.
He gives some very detailed, you know, guidelines of when you can hear what, and I think that's a nice evaluation.
Oh, in the sort of preliminary volume to the Krishna Vrindavan series?
Yeah, the first
book. Yeah, that's a really great book. It's tough philosophy to get through all of that. Yeah. You know, but then of course he has written all of these wonderful pastimes about Krishna and Vrindavan. And I finished those recently too, actually for the second or third time. Went through them, you know. I know Adi Kart has probably read them about 10 times, you know, he's a real fan. But yeah, and but he makes it real clear. And one thing I like about it is he's always sort of cautioning, now remember this, remember that, you know, be well-grounded. And I think the same point was made, be well-grounded in the philosophy, you know, in the basic philosophy, yeah. Okay? Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.